Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, who's this, please?
Hi, my name is Alfred Etter. I'm actually representing my father, Alfred Etter. He's based here.
Okay. Just so you know, we don't use your full names. We just go by initials. So if you just say AF.
AE.
He's not the student.
Oh, sorry, AE.
But he's not the student.
He's not.
It's his
father.
It's his.
I'll explain that to you.
His father is the complainant, yes.
Yeah.
He wishes to speak on behalf of his father.
Understand. Everybody ready?
No.
I hereby call to order the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education Complaint Committee meeting. Matters on the agenda may be discussed in executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431-03A3. The committee reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items, with the exception of hearings, which we have none today. The committee may take legal action on any agenda item discussed. Mr. Blanchard, has there been any requests to change order?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, first order of business then is the discussion and actions for the complaint committee meetings dated March 24th. You guys have a chance to review them?
Mm-hmm.
Got a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as they are.
Second.
Okay, motion a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yes.
For a matter of order, all future minutes of the complaint committee will be audio recorded.
Yes.
And just so for the record, that's how the minutes will be done in the future.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. Moving on to item number three on the agenda, item 3A, complaint number 16-S006, Grand Canyon University. Complaint is AE. Mr. Blanchard, if you'd introduce.
Mr. Chair, members of the complaint committee, complaint 16-S033 was filed by AE about March of 2016. He received a letter from Grand Canyon University dated March 28, 2014, in an envelope postmarked September 24, 2015, regarding his request to an opportunity to complete last two classes to allow him the opportunity to get his degree. He had filed a prior complaint in October 23, 2015, which you heard under complaint number 15-S002. This is in reference to, this current complaint is in reference to the letter he received and the opportunity to attempt to complete the program. I had a request from AE to have his son speak on his behalf, and that his son's name is Al Etter. He is on the phone answering your questions. I'm here from the institution, Dan Stimmel, General Counsel, and Gina, is it Bilick?
Bilick,
Legal Specialist.
Okay, question for point of order. We did hear this complaint and before. What's different? Is this one, just so I'm understanding right, because at that meeting they had offered him to go into the Bachelor of Science in Educational Studies.
That offer's not available anymore.
Right, but so is that what we're hearing today? Because we already heard the complaint about the dismissal from the program, and we already ruled on that.
That's correct. So this is in reference to the last portion of him wanting to get a degree in education, which wouldn't have a teaching component.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blanchard, for that clarification.
Was it the timing that it was available at the time the offer was made, but no action was taken, and then now time is up?
That's to my understanding, yes.
Okay, we'll start with AE on the phone. AE, would you like to make any statement to the committee?
Speaking on my father's behalf, and I don't think that given the opportunity again to help me with you guys. I wasn't present when he had his previous hearing. So I do thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, I'm having a little trouble here, but I heard most of you said the letter was sent to him postmarked a different date than the envelope on the letter. Basically giving him direction as to how to go about the reinstatement process. Now, he followed that. There were, he was given two names on that letter and two contact numbers to follow. He tried contacting both of those people to no avail because they wouldn't even answer his calls, left the messages, they got nothing back. And the few times since then he's gotten actually a hold of somebody at that university, they, as soon as they find out who he is, they hang up on him.
Okay.
It's just one of the things where the letter specifically states you're to take these steps to get reinstated, and when he tries to follow with the letter, with GCU letterhead, with a GCU envelope, tries to follow the steps, gets nowhere. And then he got another letter from a Shane Malonis saying that he was basically not to contact, basically a cease and desist, more or less, for lack of a better term, saying he was more or less he was expelled. But the letter was signed by Ms. Jennifer Leck. So it came from a different email than the person that was signed by, basically saying, do not contact us anymore, you have no reason to do this. Well, he did. He got this letter saying he's supposed to be contacting these people, and it got nowhere with that.
Okay.
So he's been through 4 years of a heartache with this university. Whether we want to cast blame one way or another, you know, there's a certain point where you're getting the hand of a letter saying this, thinking your nightmare is over, and it's not, because you can't get a hold of anybody. And now they block his calls, they won't return emails, you know, so a whole litany of things happen after that, but it's just one of the things where he anything that's happened in the past is over, but it's the fact that he's 6 credits short of completing this degree that I've witnessed him work very hard for. I've witnessed him do everything he was supposed to do in the process of obtaining this degree, and he left 6 credits short basically because of an argument, because of disagreements with management, and $40,000 spent in 6 credits short, 4 years of his life. You know, 2 years away from all this, it's already affecting his credit rating. I mean, I see the way it takes a toll on him every day. I live with it.
Okay.
And I see the way it's affecting him. At what point is enough enough? At what point how much does one usually need to pay over what amounts to a disagreement?
There's a bit of confusion as to what your father is requesting. And reading through all this material, he was dismissed from the teaching degree program and was not allowed to go back in. They were offering him to finish the non-teaching degree education degree, and it didn't sound like he wants to do that. Are you saying now this is what he wants to do?
To my knowledge, that was never something he wasn't willing to accept. It wasn't his ideal situation, I will say that. He wanted to get back into his program, like the one he had started, but he is more than willing to accept the offer that was on that. When he got the letter said he was to complete his degree, and I believe it was educational studies, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, correct.
Yeah. Okay. He got the letter. The letter was to go about the process of being reinstated to complete that program. So that's what he was trying to follow in the idea that he wants to complete his degree and move on. That's all. At this point, guys, that's all he wants. I mean, I don't want to sound informal, but you know, it's just a matter of getting basically what he has paid for and feels he's earned over the course of 4 or 5 years now. Well, now more than that, probably won't be out of school for 2 years now. Just being able to move on with his life. I mean, it's one of those things where, like you said, it spends $20,000 worth of education and has nothing to show for it. That causes a problem for anybody.
Okay. Thank you. Members of the school, if you'd introduce yourself for record, please, and then you're allowed an opening statement, too, or if anything you want to tell us.
Good afternoon. Dan Steimel and Gina Billick on behalf of Grand Canyon University. As an initial matter, I think I just want to make a couple of corrections for the record. First of all, no one at GCU ever hung up on Mr. Etter. That didn't happen. We provided all of our call records. There were several times he called and didn't get an answer. He had to leave a voicemail. We provided those records as well, but no one ever disconnected a phone call with the man. Secondly, my recollection, we've already discussed the original complaint that was filed. We were here a little over a year ago on the original, on the expulsion itself. I believe that the student at that time, in no uncertain terms, on the record, rejected our offer of the alternative degree. My recollection is he made very clear that he was only interested in the teaching degree, didn't have any interest in an alternative degree. And then the third and perhaps most relevant point of proceedings today is that this student knows full well why he received this letter in the mail in September of last year. It was because it didn't just show up in his mailbox out of the blue. He had had multiple conversations with his enrollment counselor prior to receiving the letter about being reinstated at the university as a student. And he, during several of these marathon phone calls, so I think one was 25 minutes, another was in excess of 40 minutes, and there's these circular conversations going on, and he does not understand why he was expelled to begin with, which is a bunch of baloney. We just had this hearing 5 months before these phone calls occurred. And he's demanding an explanation as to why he's expelled and why he's no longer allowed to go into student teaching. That's why this letter was sent. It was sent on the very day of a 42-minute phone conversation where he's making these demands. So that's why the letter was sent in. In hindsight, it probably should have been sent undercover that explained, following our conversation today, here is the written explanation you requested as to why you're not allowed to engage in student teaching. But in the context of that phone call, he did request reinstatement, which is the first step under our policies to overcome an expulsion. I think it's a year under our student code of conduct. If you get expelled via the code of conduct process, you're eligible for reinstatement after a year's time, I believe. And so that was the official request that was made that day. Subsequent to that call and subsequent to this letter being submitted, this student continued to exhibit the same behavior that had led to his original expulsion, called 41 times, just badgering people about where we were on the reinstatement decision and continuing to threaten to sue the university, just making statements that he thought that AZPPSC must be being paid by GCU, and just generally being very aggressive and belligerent in his tone. So subsequent to all that, the decision was made, we're not going to reinstate you. That letter went out in maybe 3 weeks after this letter in mid-October. And then even following that, which, as Mr. Etter on the phone has stated, appeared to be a cease and desist letter, it absolutely was, because he had contacted us in a very aggressive manner 42 times in a row. He then started calling from different phone numbers because we blocked his number after sending that cease and desist letter, and made 42 more phone calls of the same nature. And I think the biggest point to recognize here is the student at no point took any responsibility for the behavior that had led to his original expulsion. He continued to exhibit the same behavior that he had exhibited, continued to blame everyone but himself, and tried to gain entry to into his original program by means of deceit and manipulation. You read the phone transcripts, he keeps saying, oh, I only have 8 hours of student teaching left to get my teaching degree. When it was made clear to him, not only by GCU, but by this board, that he was not going to get a teaching degree. That was not on the table, was not an option to him, and he's calling up 5 months later, basically trying to make an end run around our prior decision. So taking all of that in its totality, we're not willing to readmit this student.
Do I get a chance for a rebuttal here, or am I going to interrupt if I am?
No, I'll give you a limited time. Go ahead.
Well, I guess we can start with the fact that there were 41 phone calls made prior to a block. Let me start with the idea of there's been no responsibility taken. I think that's kind of undersold here. How can someone take responsibility if he can't get somebody to answer the phone and talk to them? And the facts are that he was never truly given a reason as to why he was expelled from his student teaching. I mean, he's never been provided with information from the school here in Vineland, New Jersey. And the whole process of that, I mean, if you want to call 41 phone calls badgering, fine, you can call whatever you want, but the fact is when basically everything you work for is on the line, you want to know what's going on. When no one answers your call, the 41 phone calls weren't made in the span of an hour, guys. They were made in the span of weeks and to multiple people. It wasn't the same person 41 times. So, you know, the idea you want to put counting phone calls, you know, that's all well and good. But let's look at it with some substance, not just a blanket cover of, you know, making somebody look like a lunatic. That's not. I don't think that's fair. Second of all, the idea that no responsibility has been taken, I think it kind of has to at this point, right? You know, whether there's true feeling of responsibility for something, there's remorse regardless. If my father had known any of this was going to happen like this, he probably would have just shut his mouth a long time ago. But a permanent expulsion after $40,000 has been spent with nothing to show for it, a permanent expulsion for speaking your mind, that's not right.
Sir, if I could stop you there. So you stated that you did not participate in the last complaint committee meeting. And honestly, okay, and if you had, then I think that you would, well, I know that you would have heard that his complaint about what he felt was an unjust dismissal was thoroughly, thoroughly reviewed, and we found in favor of the school. After reviewing all of his information and all the school's information, we determined that they did, in fact, follow their policies. They had agreed. Hang on a second.
Sorry, go.
They had agreed that even though they would not accept him back in the program he was in, and we all agreed, justly so, the alternative was he could get a different degree by taking, I believe it was 2 classes, 6 credits, and that was clearly stated in the meeting, and he had at that time an opportunity to follow a process that was, it was explained, so he could get that degree. And from this new information, it appears that he did not pursue that, that he instead was pursuing back into the program that he already had clearly, very, very clearly been told he was not going to be accepted back into. So I think, honestly, your participation at this end of it without having participated in that other meeting and heard all that went on, that's a very big gap in your knowledge of what occurred. And so we are not here to discuss him being dismissed from the other program or being readmitted in that program, because that has been put to bed. The part that remained was him coming back to this new program, which he was told what steps he needed to do that. And from looking at this material, it appears that he didn't follow those steps. And the school, obviously, when they resent that letter, over a year later and didn't put a cover letter with it, they were remiss in doing that. But obviously the person who spoke to them on the phone was giving him what was discussed in the phone call, and should have put a cover letter with it, but didn't. But documented in their materials why it was being sent. So it is unfortunate that at the time when all of this was discussed, and he was given the opportunity, if he had taken those 2 classes, it would be done, and we wouldn't be going through any of this. But now, because of his behavior towards the school, they no longer wish to give him the opportunity to take those 2 classes and get the degree. And as long as they follow their processes, we don't have any jurisdiction to make them do it. It was a nice compromise they had given at the time to say you can't have that one, but we can allow you to finish in this one with these 2 classes, and it didn't happen. So I don't know what else.
No, just for the school. I mean, it just so you took it off the table, I think I read the stuff and I see that is why. But I mean, he would not return to the school. This would be an online course, is the two, right? And he has spent $40,000. I mean, I get why you're doing it, and I can't compel you to do it, but it just seems to me that would be a nice compromise.
Right, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, no, two
classes.
He's got 2 dang classes left.
This is what he's saying. This is what is going to happen. But I know there's been some.
Well, he's caused a lot of his own problems.
Changes in the past.
Most of them. I don't think the school has acted irrationally here in any way, shape, or form. Let me state that for the record.
Right.
I think, we all run schools or businesses, and that, when somebody's like that, you would do that. But it's just, on the other side, I have that compassion a bit, too. So.
Sure, no, that's
okay. Can I interject for 1 second? I'm sorry. I mean to interrupt.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
As far as what's happened in the past, my father's not here on this conversation for a reason. Well, one, right, he's at work and he drives for a living, so it's kind of tough set exactly a time, but he wanted me to come on here to display his point for him because he knows how important this is. He knows how important this is. He definitely regrets the way things have gone. Like I said, my father, as you can probably tell, has been hot-headed. I mean, it's in his nature. That's no excuse. I mean, I'm not admitting, you know, I'm not saying he's taking full responsibility, but he definitely regrets the way this has gone. And just the idea of what's happened in the past, yeah, okay, that's in the past. And again, as one lady said, I apologize, I don't know your name. As far as the last hearing that went on, that was an entirely different thing. The letter that he got was to follow the process of getting back in to the university for that, to finish the program that they said he could finish on their terms, on their decision, the compromise that was made. And when he made the attempt to do that, while it was still on the table, apparently because he got the letter, when he made the attempt to do that, there was nowhere for him to go. There was nobody, he could not get a hold of anybody to assist him in the process of doing that.
Hey, guys, go ahead, stop there. So just to summarize, from the school, if you would respond to this, when he was told he could come back in and take those two courses to graduate from a different degree, when he then contacted the school, did he contact discussing getting into that degree, or was he still discussing going to the original degree that he was told he could not get into?
Oh, he was trying to get into the original degree program that he was well aware he was not eligible for.
Okay. So that's one issue. Hang on a second. So the school is saying, and obviously you aren't your father and you weren't there to listen to all the conversations, and he clearly has told you that he attempted to contact them to do as instructed, and the school has documentation showing that after the point he was told definitively he could not get into the first place, the first program, he continued to call and to the point of harassment about getting the original one, and that ship had sailed. So where we're at right now is saying the school, from all appearances, has done nothing wrong. Your father has been overly aggressive to the point where numerous people now have difficulty in dealing with him in attempting to get what should have been a very simple re-enrolling and then scheduling two courses. That shouldn't have taken all this amount of time. If he honestly had followed the process that had been set up, it would have been fine. The problem is when he was calling, he was trying to rebeat the old thing that was done. So where we are now is saying that, in our opinion, the school has done everything that they were supposed to. We could right now stop talking and say, we're done. They did everything they were supposed to. The case is closed. And we're now just asking them, despite the amount of aggression your father has shown and the excessive contacts, are they in any way willing to reconsider to allow him to take a couple of courses and graduate? And honestly, if they agree to do it, I would suggest that they do it with an extremely, extremely rigid rules and guidelines of exactly who he's supposed to speak with, on what terms, and if he violates it all, just be done with it. So if you want to ponder that for a moment.
Sure. You know, to reverse this decision, I would have to, you know, take it back to the powers that be and see what they say. I can tell you what their position is at this point and why it's unlikely that the decision is to be changed. Okay. I'd say it's twofold. First of all, one other factual point, you know, to say that he was calling, trying to be reinstated and couldn't get a hold of anybody is just not accurate. The records show that we spent over 2 hours on the phone with the student during that, you know, 15-20-day period. In any event, I think the issues that have led us to where we are in the decision that the university has made at this point are twofold, as I said. Number one, yes, he's an online student. Theoretically, that minimizes his ability to be disruptive and to, you know, cause any actual harm to anyone. But on the other hand, he's been an online student throughout his time at GCU, and we've already seen the amount of disruption that he's managed to cause in that capacity. And if we were to let him back in, I have no doubt we would end up right back here in front of you, lovely people. So that's the first piece. The second part, I'm now blanking on. So the second part is just, you know, our provost and the decision makers at the top of the university are very hesitant to allow an individual who has shown this level of aggression and this level of rage over an extended period of time and an inability to accept personal responsibility for it, an inability to change their ways, to to have a teaching degree, to have a degree in education from Grand Canyon University. It's just not something that we're comfortable with in today's world. You know, there's been so much, we're under a lot of pressure with campus violence and those sorts of things. And while this would technically be a non-teaching degree, there's plenty of jurisdictions you can go get a teaching job with this degree. And there's a reason that there are these, that student teaching is required in order to get a degree in education. It's to find out whether the candidate, the student, is capable of operating in a classroom. It was made very clear more than once this gentleman was not. So I can tell you that's the line of thought at this point. I'm happy to take it back and we'll kick it around one more time to see if they want to put this offer back on the table. But I can tell you that's the thought process to this point.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Ready for a motion?
I'm in motion. So do you
want to make a motion? I said I'm ready for a motion.
Oh, okay. I make a motion to dismiss.
Can you say it loud enough?
Yeah. I make a motion to dismiss.
Do I have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Conversation about that. Okay, I do appreciate you going back and at least considering it. I fully understand that every point you said was germane to this, and I get it, and especially about campus violence, but since it was an online student, two classes,
right.
40K plus into the thing, I'm just trying to help him get out of his own way, and
right.
in some ways, you know what I'm saying, to do this. So, but I understand your concern, so
yeah.
we appreciate that. With that, I call for the vote. Oh, sorry, Ms.
I guess my question is, how should their decision be communicated? Should it only be through that AE not reach out to the institution,
but no, it
that
should
the
be
institution
through you,
be strictly through
Mr. Blanchard,
and the communication be that, and then once the decision's been made, then that it's done.
I would also, I'd like to re-amend my motion if I could. I'd like to I would like you to consider dismissing with prejudice so we don't rehear this 15 more times.
That's a brilliant idea. I'd like to amend my motion to say that we're dismissing it with prejudice.
Okay. Do I have a few seconds, Mr. Jacobs?
Second. Thank you.
Okay, call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. We thank you. Thank you for appearing on behalf of your father today. It's much appreciated.
Okay, maybe I missed what just happened here. What are we doing now? What is the result here?
The result is that the complaint, because the school did, it is deemed the school followed its policy to the T. The complaint was dismissed with prejudice. But we have asked the school to reconsider one more time letting your father complete not his original degree, but the alternative
right.
degree that was on the table. We've heard their objections, but they've agreed to discuss that with the provost and the powers that be, which will be their decision will be communicated to Mr. Blanchard, who will then in turn
okay.
communicate that to your father, which are one way. But their father's not to call the school. It's not muddy the water with.
Sure, I understand all that. And may I just add one quick thing? I didn't catch the name of the representative from Grand Canyon there. I do appreciate you taking this back one more time to consider. If there's anything I can do, if there's anybody I can speak to on his behalf, like I said, I've seen this firsthand. I know they don't want to speak to him, but if I could get, you know, one conversation to have with somebody about this, just, you know, I don't want, he's my father, guys. I know you guys understand this, but
completely.
You know what I mean? Like I want to do everything I can to help. I should have gotten involved earlier, obviously, but that ship has now sailed also.
No, okay. Well,
I didn't catch the name of the representative from GCU. If he could just take my information, possibly, and I could contact them directly or how, I don't know. Or whatever they want to do, but I would like to be a part of this process as well. That's all I have.
Okay. Again, thank you for appearing. And to the school and representative, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next agenda item, agenda item 3B, complaint 16S007, Arizona College. The complainant is PD. Mr. Blanchard, if you'd please introduce.
Mr. Chair, members of the complaint committee, complaint 16S005 was received on April 29, 2016 from PD, who was a massage therapy student and was terminated at Arizona College for accusation of sexual misconduct. It was stated by PD that he had completed all appeals and confirmed by Arizona College that the student grievance procedure was completed as required by R39403. At this time, PD is not eligible to return. I did speak to Mr. Tellier, the AG's office, in reference to the scope of our investigation, which would be following policies and procedures and not conducting an investigation specific to the sexual misconduct.
Right, out of our purview.
Yes. Attaches all the information from the student, which is voluminous, and attaches the response from Arizona College. Here answering your question from Arizona College is Cheryl Kindred, campus director, Matt Calhoun, director of regulatory affairs, Nick Mansour, the president, and complainant PD.
Okay. PD, could you please come forward if you're in there? Not here. PD, are you on the phone? PD, are you in the basement?
Well, you went down there and gathered up any
miscellaneous.
Yeah, because that was 2:15, so that was later. Okay, school, please come forward then. If you would please state your name for the record.
Matt Calhoun.
Cheryl Kindred.
Nick Mansour.
Thank you. Welcome. Would you like to make any opening statements or anything? Or just be available for questions?
Mr. Blanchard, I think, explained it well, that the school has followed its Title IX process, which is a very lengthy process and has multiple levels to ensure that there is not bias on the part of any single person involved with the investigation. So the determination was made by our deputy on campus, confirmed by the Title IX coordinator, and then reviewed under appeal of our chief operating officer.
Any questions?
I only have one question. Because it was a lot of stuff. One comment that he made was that he had not been allowed to participate in any way in the investigation. It did sound like he was, in fact, interviewed, but he just stated numerous times in his complaint that he had not been allowed to participate in it. And I was just wondering, is that a step in the process, or is he, did he just feel like he didn't get enough attention?
I think I just said that. He was involved in the, I guess it's the matter of his perception maybe of what participating in it means and what mine means, but from the very beginning he was notified, and we, you know, put him on notice that this was inappropriate behavior, did a counseling form with him. I invited him to come in and speak with me on a Saturday. At the same time, I was also making a police report. It just so happened that the police ended up there at the same time he was. We had conversations with him about taking this very seriously, both myself and the police department. These are very serious allegations, and you need to tell us your side of the story and what happened. So in my mind, you know, we were asking him to participate actively. He didn't take it, from my perception, very seriously in the very, you know, beginning. Until he, I think he just thought it was going to go away, and we weren't going to really, you know, the counseling form and kind of slap him on his hand and letting him finish his program was going to be what was going to happen. I just don't think he, like, really took the seriousness of it until much later. But we responded to, you know, and encouraged him to tell us his side of the story of what had happened all along the way, and responded then once he got an attorney with any information that they wanted. Which he sent to you guys as well, which was, you know, copies of evaluations done, you know, and those kind of things. So I'm not really sure what he was wanting in addition.
Well, the part that the couple of instructors had
right.
said that they were there and they thought that everything was fine.
Yeah.
That's really confusing for us.
It is confusing.
Your staff members are saying, hey, this is our expertise field, and mm-hmm. he seemed to be doing just fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, making student mistakes and draping and stuff. You know. So what do you say about that?
Well, at the end, when we were looking at the evidence, the only thing that, like, I was reminded several times of is that all we were looking at is if there was a preponderance of evidence that these actions happened. So that's what I looked at and, like, really laid out and said, you know, is there even a possibility that these things happen? That's what our Title IX policy asked us to do.
Yeah.
The employees, I have addressed this with them. One's no longer with our college. The other one they had some responsibility in it because we at Arizona College asked them to be supervising the clinicals at all times, and so I think there was a...
well, it's their license the students are working under. That's
right,
why I'm saying,
right.
So what are the repercussions for them?
Right, so we, well, one's no longer with us, and then the other one, she's been a part of the process. We haven't taken formal action yet because, actually, this is...
It's really not my business, but I'm just asking.
Good question.
Good question, you know, so...
Because they did both, the instructors wrote and did admit they had left.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in trying to figure out all this, and one of the three students said, yeah, it happened, but I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to press charges. Mm-hmm. And from Fortune TV, I know that doesn't happen. But I was just curious, and we did review all stuff. I honestly didn't read every one of those student reviews, though. I told them.
I didn't either. I'm sorry.
But everything else I read, I did not read those. Okay, and I don't know if there's confusion because of the time or the place of why he didn't show, but he did go down and gather up all the lost sheep that ended up in the wrong room.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way, I read this, not coming away clearly that this was anything intended on the student's part, but it's not my job to do the investigation. It's my job to see if the school followed their procedure on this. And having run massage therapy programs in the past in schools, I know how sensitive this area really is and what a bind it puts you in for as a school. So I don't see any wrong doing as far as procedural tactics. I don't know if this guy did or didn't do it. You know, the police didn't. I guess there's no prosecution that happened, huh?
No, because nobody filed it. Nobody wanted to file a complaint. So the school put the report on file so that if something happens subsequent to that or he goes to another massage therapy school program, it shows that we did take action on our part to try and make the record known. And the police notified him that if he goes to another massage therapy school and something were to happen there, that then that record can be pulled into the decision of what happens to him subsequent legally.
So this follows him around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Arizona College put the police record, made a police report.
So I, in all this material, I thought I saw a response from the student that seemed to be prior to the, I don't know if it's the investigation or what, you made it sound like he didn't really take this seriously or didn't really respond, but I thought I saw a written response from him. Yeah, early.
On like 1-5 or 1-9?
We had given him notice of the charges on January 5th, and
okay.
February 26th, almost 2 months later, he did submit some evidence on his behalf for the investigation.
Okay.
There's 128 pages he submitted on
yes.
26th.
I know. I actually did try to do a whole timeline trying to figure it out and find. So I can't figure this out because it was all over the place.
It was a hard response to follow. I'll say that. Very hard to follow.
Should this happen again? Timeline would be lovely.
Holidays.
Yeah.
Not on his part.
It was mostly part, but all right.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we dismiss this complaint because I think the school followed all published policies to their T, and that's what we're here. We're not a legal body in the sense of trying to find out if you did or didn't do sexual harassment. That's on your guys to figure that out, or sexual inappropriateness. So I make a motion we dismiss.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, the complaint, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That carries. Thank you for appearing today.
Thank you.
You missed the other meeting. We told everybody we don't want to see the complaint committee. In the board meeting, every single school, we said, and we don't want to see you in the complaint committee meeting.
We remind them.
We don't want to see you anymore.
Moving on in our agenda, we're still on agenda item 3, but we move to C, complaint 16S-008, the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Science. Complainant is TB, Mr. Blanchard.
Mr. Chair, members of the complaint committee, complaint 16S-008 filed against the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Science was filed by TB on May 9, 2016. In his allegations, he indicated he was being hazed, harassed, and physically harmed by CRAS staff. Board staff did contact TB and speak to him regarding the allegation listed in his complaint. During that interview, it was determined that he was terminated from the program in reference to the allegations of the physical harm that CRS had caused. Staff forwarded the complaint to CRAS and received some clarifications of the allegation in the complaint, which included in their response a police report from Gilbert Police Department, records in reference to municipal court charges as well. Here to answer any of your questions for the school is Director of Education Michael Jones, and the complainant TB is here to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Boncher. TB, if you come up and take a seat. Please introduce yourself by just your initials.
TB.
Okay, would you like to make any opening statement? You don't have to. You can just be available for questions if you want. You don't have to.
I'll be available for questions.
Yeah. Okay, with that, this one seems pretty cut and dry to me, TB, on the school's behalf. I mean, they're clearly one of the biggest things we are concerned against are violence at school and any type of, not following direction and stuff. And I understand you're worked up, and I get it, but it's... I got records here that show you did do this, and they're well within their right to not see you again. But you can speak to that if you'd like. Yeah.
I'm just more so wanting my equipment. Like, they locked me out my equipment. And, I sent them a grievance letter, and they kind of basically ignored it back in April 3rd. Contacted another teacher, I got ignored, and it was just ongoing, and it just like you say, it built up into this whole thing. I've been patient every meeting. I've been patient. I've listened. I haven't any outbursts, and the only alternative he gave me from the last meeting on April 29th, he said, from one outburst, everything, they didn't charge me, it was greatly appreciated, and they didn't do that. That was helpful, but I don't feel like as if they was helping me, and since December 7th, and I just wanna, this school is half hands on and it's half schoolwork, and I wasn't provided hands on for half of my being in that program, and I just wanna have some either refund, either a half or one fourth of my tuition and my equipment.
What equipment are you claiming?
Yeah. I have a laptop. It's a MacBook. And, I'm trying to get that unlocked and give it back to me because I have files of personal things on there that they've locked on there. Especially if I already paid.
Was it school property or is it something that you...
It's part of the tuition you get a MacBook?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll address that when we have to talk to the school.
And we don't have a ledger here, so...
Yeah, because our complaint that we received from you said reinstatement and opportunity to complete the program. And that's why I'm being just direct with you. That's clearly probably off the table at this point.
I really don't, after the harassment and everything, I really don't want to be back at this.
Okay, Well, it's just a difference, so we don't have a ledger card and such on this.
The thing is, what I think often people... had different understanding is that even though you were given the computer, it was with the understanding that it would be paid for. And because you didn't complete the program, it's very possible that you didn't actually ultimately pay for the computer. And because we didn't know that's what you were going to be asking, we don't have the information to address it, and perhaps the staff member from the school knows something about it. But that actually would be a separate issue. But if I were you, I would send a letter, since we've had some issues with personal contact, send a letter just asking for an explanation of the fees and the charges, and if in fact the equipment had been paid for. And then if you have personal files on the computer, perhaps you could ask them if you provided a thumb drive, could they copy your personal files for you?
Or perhaps they would prorate how much of the MacBook was paid for based on the tuition he paid, and maybe he could pay for the rest.
Yes, you can ask that too.
What
it cost to purchase it. If by now, with how much time has gone by, they could have actually already scrapped the whole thing and the files may not be available, we don't know. But again, since your theme really talked about reinstatement and the opportunity to complete the program, that's what we were focusing on. And also, I'm just curious, what did you think would happen when you were told in no uncertain terms not to go to the classroom and you went anyway? Did you think they were just going to let you go?
No, it was just that, I've only had a week left in the school, and I've been working so hard towards this, and then for them to like just try to take it away, you know, after conflicts and interests they didn't cause, you know, me harassing me and everything, like it just, like in my head, like I need to finish this, like no, like I'm about to go finish learning, like I'm not about to leave, like I'm about to take from a week away from finishing my school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, if you know you got that anger issue, you know.
I don't have anger.
I know you did, but you let this build up to a point where you...
I've been trying to resolve it.
Like, you are, and I think you're respectful for that. That's fine. That's not judgment on that, so...
No, but the whole situation started because of absenteeism and falling behind in grades, so...
I picked up on them. I was help picked up on them and everything. And but it's just like those were fixed though. It started from when I got injured. Like that's really where it started from when I got injured. And then like they were not trying to help me. Like they from their mouth they told me, oh, if you got a medical document, I'm gonna tell you the BS that he basically gave. He was like, if you got a medical document that is from the exact date of your project, which is 2 months all the way from when I was trying to give it to him, he said, if you got a medical document on that date, which how am I supposed to get an excuse 2 months down the line with a date that's from all the way in January? So that's basically like, oh, we're not even going to try to help you. We're going to give you an alternative that's not even possible.
In fact, stop right there. To be honest with you, that sounds like a lot of rationalization. If you were hurt in, say, January, and you didn't go to school, and then months later you say, oh, by the way, I've been performing poorly and got bad grades because I was hurt a couple months ago, the schools, all schools, have a policy that says if a person is injured and that is causing them to not be able to go to school, they can request a leave of absence to allow themselves to be taken care of. So I guess the problem is that at this point, you know, you are negative towards the school. It didn't work out well for you. But again, as a life lesson, things have to be dealt with at the time they occur. Right. So if you were not able to go to school because you got hurt, it needs to be addressed then. So if you choose to go to another school, you need to stay on top of things. If your grades start slipping, you need to go for help if it's based on, you know, academic or any understanding. If it's because you're having, you know, issues outside of school, whether it be health, personal, whatever, you contact the school to see what policies they have that would help you. But unfortunately, reading all of the stuff, it definitely sounds like, you know, you weren't doing that well. You loved it, but you weren't, you know, really succeeding at the program. And some of it was due to absenteeism and poor grades. And unfortunately...
But even when my grades up, it's looked as absentee, and making up with their policies and that they include for you to make up your absences and your grades, like it's still looked as I'm doing poor, even though all other students have this have that option to, if they miss absences, to make up, which plenty of students do make up their absences and their grades that every student has. They send emails to make up whatever they have failed.
Yeah, no, I think to a larger point, and we're kind of going backwards from here, and that's why I kind of started off with it, the obvious, which is because of what happened. You know, I don't see any clear path for you to go back to that school without, you know. So these might have been issues, TV, and we're not here to say they weren't or were not, but those issues should have. There's a way to deal with it. You can come all the way to this board when you're still an active student, if you know when you were a student, but. Now we progress to a part where this altercation, cops, you know, the whole thing, I'm not going through what happened. That kind of negates all this because that's the great equalizer now. We can't go back and say, okay, it happened because that's why it happened. So, but I want you, you know, whatever you do in your future, and I hope, you know, it has education and you keep following your dream, whatever that is, you know, that you do take lessons for that. There's always a way to agree issues. And there's a way above the school. Yeah, you might say no, but there is. You can, in their catalog, I would guarantee you, will say, if you're not happy, contact this board. Contact that man right there, you know.
So I get it, and you feel a little powerless, and I don't want to make you feel that way, but now because of what happened, I can't. There's no way I can direct the school to the state.
Would I have to wait until after my trial to whatever happens with my trial board to be looked as differently or what? Because whatever they're talking about is just not what it was.
No, I think that to be honest with you, to give you just the straight facts, I think that your time at conservatory is over.
That's totally
fine. But we're going to talk to the school here in a second.
Okay.
And we're going to ask some questions because you brought up a couple things you'd like to do, and that might be, you're going to sit there and listen, so we'll find out. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, TV. Mr. Jones, good afternoon.
Hello.
So, any statement you want to make or anything, or just be available for questions?
Well, you guys have all read the written statement that I put in, and as you said in the beginning, I mean, our ultimate goal at my school, our school, is to our students to complete and to graduate and to go out and do their internships. TB was 6 days shy of graduation, and on the 28th, he had an outburst at my Gilbert campus that was so severe, the Gilbert police had to be called. Mm-hmm. On the 29th, the following day, I met with him personally in an attempt to salvage his education with 6 days to go. Our goal was, what can we do? I had contingency plans for off-campus possibilities. He was belligerent and basically said no matter what we said in that meeting, he was going to get up, walk out of my office, and walk into the classroom. And he attempted, after that meeting ended, to force his way into the classroom. One of my staff put his hand on his backpack to stop him. He turned around and attacked him. He punched him in the face. An ensuing struggle took place.
Yeah, I've read all that.
My employee's ribs are broken in the hospital, and TB was arrested for assault with injury and still has a pending criminal charge against him for this.
Yeah.
I am currently a witness against him because I had witnessed the whole thing, and so that's where we are now.
Okay, what about, can you address the laptop? I know we don't, that's not part of
the laptop policy is very clear. We have signed documents in his file that would lay this out. The student owns a laptop when the loan is paid. His loan is not paid. He has not made payments on the loan. So it's at the back end. If a student gets terminated from the program, they don't get to keep the laptop. The laptop is the school's property until the program is completed. The student leaves and the student loan goes into effect, and then they take the laptop. When a student is terminated, so is the laptop agreement, so is the contract they signed with the school. So at that point, he currently has the laptop in his possession, but it is the school's property.
So he has the laptop?
Yes.
You have a laptop, TV?
I have a laptop, but it's a lot. I have personal things that I need to get off the laptop.
And yes, that is our policy. If the laptop is returned to school, we will take his information and be happy to put it on a drive for him that he provides.
Okay.
Okay, well, we heard that at this board because he wants to get his stuff back, so it doesn't look like you'll be able to keep the laptop, but you heard it, so they'll transfer all the stuff that's yours, personal property. Because the problem, TV, comes in with a laptop that's on the school, it's school property, so really anything on there is technically their property too. However, they sound like they'll make a compromise with that and give you that.
And what would I do about, since the laptop is included in the tuition and they're getting that?
Well, I'd like to request a ledger card so Ms. Leonard can review it if possible.
One difficulty is that was not part of the complaint here, so are we allowed to address that? Or do we have to address that?
I think if you keep it open.
I get your point, but I'd still like to see one.
Then in order to resolve that, obviously from what he understands, you don't own the laptop, you haven't paid for it, you think that you have. So I would say that...
Can I just... Mr. Jones, that brings up a point, though. So you're saying he hasn't paid off his stuff, but he was 6 days from graduating, I assume... Unless he was behind on financial aid, so it seems like his program would have been paid for in total.
By being terminated from the program, the laptop, the way it's set up, the simplest way to explain it is, it's at the end of the tuition. So if you withdrew from the school on your own fuel or for whatever reason, you don't keep the laptop. It's the loan starts here, the laptop's at the end of the loan. So when the loan is paid, the student owns it. If the student leaves school and the loan goes into repayment, then they're allowed to.
The loan, as in.
The student loan itself, yes.
The federal student loan?
Yes.
Well, that's a 10-year to 20-year repayment on it. So you think students don't get it until the student loan?
When students leave the program and they're in good standing, they're allowed to keep the laptop when they leave the campus, and it's built into their
Let's just do a time.
Guys, the simplest way to put it is, I can, if it, this would make it work easier,
well,
the laptop agreement states clearly that if a student is terminated from the program, they must surrender their property because the property is not the
student's
property.
No, we do understand that, but also the point of termination is obviously 6 days before graduation, there would be no refund of tuition due.
No.
But this may not also be your area. So
which is, yeah, that's why I say I want to back up a little bit and time out because this was not the complaint. Mr. Jones came here, the TV came to come in. So what I would like to request, if it's possible, counsel, is them to provide TV's ledger card for us so we can...
And actually, just so we have a very succinct package so we don't have to do a lot of research here.
Yeah, you can tell what we need. Yes. Okay, thank you.
We would like the student's ledger.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you a letter.
Okay.
Well, we'll just put it on the record here. Both refund calculations, the institutional refund calculation and the R2T4.
Well, hold on.
Say, and I talk fast.
Well, actually, I know R2 because you've said it for 30 years, so.
R2T4.
R2T4, got it.
R2T4.
And the institutional calculation. And the their institutional refund policy from the catalog and the laptop policy from the catalog.
How do we structure this, though? Because the complaint...
She said we could leave it open.
You can just leave it open. Yeah, we'll table it until the next complaint committee.
Okay. I just want to see where that piece lies.
And, I don't know. Can you guys amend your investigative reports to include...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep it.
It led to another question.
Yes.
So, I mean, we can't just ignore it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's part of the investigation.
Don't be too happy that way.
The student doesn't send anything else in saying...
Took a different turn.
Yeah. I think it'll be okay.
Okay. Can you both clear what we're doing?
Yeah. So the next complaint committee is not till September. Could we have TB bring the laptop in at that time? And if the determination is made, that he can give it and he can get that stuff off, so they have to take it to campus.
Am I allowed to review it in between?
Like to
designate. I mean, I can have you guys the documents by, you know, probably end of business tomorrow.
Sure, if the board would like to put that in motion.
I make a motion that we have a cycle let Ms. Leonard review the ledger card and the refund calculations and R2T4.
Do y'all deal with like retaliation? Like, you know, what is the act? The retaliation.
What about retaliation?
I don't know, some type of act, like retaliation.
Appeal?
Say that again?
An appeal?
No, it's a...
Retaliation against you?
Like a retaliation act. Like, let's say, like, I'm expressing my rights and I'm, like, asking questions. But in doing that, they're mad at me asking questions and they... do something to...
Oh, retaliation.
That's retaliation, but I don't understand. You're not going to be the one doing the contact with the school.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm asking y'all.
No,
what we're doing here is that he believes that the school followed their policy in retaining the computer. You believe you've already paid for it. We don't know. We didn't investigate that because that you didn't mention it there.
You can look on
their
website and it says that.
Just hold on. We're actually cutting a break. We could.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is, and we could just dismiss this and say that's not the complaint you gave us, but we are going to say we're going to ask the school to provide information. We're going to review it and determine if they followed their published policies, which you would have had, and if they did follow their published policies, and in fact you're not entitled to the laptop. Their policies allow for them to give you the files on it. They were not able to do that because you retained the computer. So if the review of these, that the school is correct and you haven't paid for the laptop, you would turn it in. They would provide you with the files on it that are yours. If they were mistaken in their interpretation of it and you have actually paid for the laptop, then we would then ask them to unlock it because it is in fact yours. We have no idea which it is. You each think something different. We have no idea because we did not review that.
And this brings it to another point. Counselor, do you think it would be cleaner to, because it's not this complaint, to dismiss this complaint and have them refile that complaint for just that, the laptop piece of it, and then what he's asking for? Because we're keeping this open, which
you
clearly
know,
think.
It might be cleaner because I think this one had more to do with
Yeah, this has everything to do with the assault and reinstatement.
Reinstatement,
I'm very clear.
If you'd like to close this and reopen a new one,
right.
Or open a new one.
That's what we're going to want you to do.
Okay. That would be better. Okay.
TP, so, you could just email, it to me.
This would be a board initiated.
Would the board like to open it?
This would be a board initiated.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be heard sooner.
The board can open it.
You can open the plane on your own.
A new question has arisen.
There's a new question that came out that I want to definitely want to.
And the board can initiate its own
committee. Not the committee, but the board.
Well, the committee.
Yeah. Okay.
So you'd open, you'd dismiss this
two motions.
Right, yeah. So the first motion I'd like to make to this board is that for complaint, what's the number on this bad word? 16S008, I make a motion that we dismiss this complaint.
I will second that.
Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. So that complaint is done. I now make a motion that we open new complaint from TV against the Conservatory for
Recording
Arts and Sciences regarding the disposition of the laptop. And do you want to, maybe you can.
We would do, it would be a state, it would be a board complaint, not.
It would be a board complaint
as to whether they follow their policies and procedures on refunds and laptops.
I'd like the committee to open a complaint against the Conservatory of Recording Arts to assess whether they followed their policy and procedure on the student laptops.
In order to address that complaint, we need the institutional refund policy, the R224 policy, the student ledger, and the calculated of those two refunds.
Okay.
I got it all. I'll send you a letter.
Okay.
TB, I'll CC the letter that goes to school so you kind of know what's going on.
Okay. Thank you.
I second that motion.
Second. Okay. Any discussion?
No.
God, I hope not. Okay. Call for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. The ayes have it. Thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Hey, officer, you can follow them out. Thank you.
Oh. Or else you can. Why don't you just wait here?
Yeah.
Sir, why don't you just wait a while?
You guys are not going to get into trouble, are you?
No.
That one's trouble. I know her.
No,
he looks pretty smooth. We're all on the same side.
We have six GPS officers coming in for you guys. So.
Yeah, hold on, the SWAT team's on our way.
Well, I told the security guard not to leave me till the end of the meeting, and you tell him to go, and he just go.
I know, right?
I don't want because it's unfair to the school.
Yeah,
that's true. We don't know. One of you could have been the anonymous.
But he has a right to know about that. I mean, I think that's the question was raised.
I got one question. Can you also have me send all the things that I signed at the school?
What stuff did you sign?
Any of the contracts.
Enrollment agreements.
Well, like enrollment agreements, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah,
everything.
Generally, they have to give you everything you signed without, and then you have to subpoena anything that you didn't
send me
sign.
I need a FERPA release. I can't get it without a FERPA release. I'll email you tomorrow.
Can you email
him? We can.
Yeah,
no, you're
no
okay.
Worries.
You're okay.
Don't go beating up my accounts. All right. Sorry, I guess we're still in session. So we're moving on to item 4 on the agenda, non-student complaint, number A16-NS506UEI. Complainant is anonymous. And I would just say this complaint was filed before the rules change went into effect, where we no longer accept anonymous complaints, but this was filed and we requested further information on this. So that is why it's being heard. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bunch.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee. Complaint 16-NS-509 was received on March 24, 2016 in reference to some issues with UEI College, with prior institutions with Anthem College. They've been licensed, UEI College has been licensed since July 24, 2013. At its meeting on March 24, 2016, the State Board Complaint Committee voted to open a complaint pursuant to the anonymous complaint. The complaint listed a number of possible violations. The supporting documentations are part of the complaint that was submitted. There was 11 allegations that we submitted to the school, which they responded in the white notebook. There were 7 specific documentations, which included leave of absence policies, explanation of allegations, job placement, current faculty in each class, resume of instructors, which they've all responded to. It was State Board staff's understanding that ACICS did a visit, was it 3 Mondays ago?
May 23rd, at
the campus as well. We haven't really done much investigation in reference to this other than reviewing their response. Here to answer any of your questions for the institution is Lorene Cahill, Chief Compliance Officer, Aaron Mortensen, General Counsel, and Todd McDonald, Executive Director of the campus here in Phoenix. You can go.
You can go. We don't need you any longer.
Did you deliver him?
Oh, you can stay if you're enjoying what you're hearing.
Sure, I'll wait till after this one's over. Then.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Did he get in his car and leave?
The gentleman walked in the back and left. The bald guy walked through the... I didn't know their names.
We're getting either all fat and bald because we're all middle-aged.
Old fat white guy. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Aaron Mortensen. I'm Company General Counsel at UEI College. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for allowing us to appear before you today. Nice to see you, Mr. LaMountain.
Todd McDonald, the Executive Director of the Phoenix campus.
And Lorene Cahill, Chief Compliance Officer.
Okay, welcome. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing us the time to appear before you today. I know that when we came before you last time, we had a very limited amount of time, maybe a couple of days, between when we received this anonymous complaint and when we appeared before the board. So, from UEI College, we appreciate the board's flexibility in allowing us to look into these issues. I know that they're voluminous. I think our response shows good faith in investigating the issues and responding to them accordingly. We're lucky just to get in right under this anonymous wire, right?
Yeah, lucky you.
But actually, we're happy to be here today so that we can discuss some of these issues because I think as you look at the documentation provided, and you get a little bit of the background as to how UEI College came to be associated with the former Anthem Schools in Phoenix, I think a little bit clearer picture makes sense. And frankly, from an internal control perspective, I think this gave us an opportunity to really evaluate our internal policies and procedures and to ensure that at the end of the day, student outcomes were most important and the student experience is something that we think is very, very important. And we feel that these this anonymous complaint doesn't really affect either student outcomes or the student experience. UEI came to be associated, UEI Phoenix came to be associated with these former Anthem schools in the Phoenix area. In about 2014, we were approached by some of the members of the former FCC Anthem group. They approached us, letting us know that they were having trouble meeting payroll, that the schools probably were going to end up needing to seek bankruptcy protection if a buyer or acquirer wasn't found immediately. A couple members of our management team jumped onto planes and went to South Florida. We had a very limited period to do some diligence to see if this would be something that the company could take on. The former Anthem Education Group had schools numbering 40, 45. Unfortunately, a lot of those schools didn't end up going through the acquisition. Due to Department of Education regulations requirements that kind of tagged on to the acquisition.
Not to interrupt, and you're free to continue down this path, but we all are on the board, and we were all very involved with the UEI, the purchase, and the Anthem, and the FCC. So you feel free, sure. But I'm just saying we're versed that we lived it. So
yeah, and I certainly don't want to...
And continue to live it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Kevin.
I don't want to repeat anything that you don't know and nothing you haven't lived through, but yeah. Long story short, we had a number of weeks to do diligence. We were saddled with a student management system that we didn't feel was effective and didn't uphold student integrity. To our levels and our standards. We went through a complete change by which we changed student tuition. We changed the program length and shortened it to the benefit of our students. We've been engaged with the board consistently regarding student records, and we've done everything we can to get those records for all these Anthem campuses quickly, and we've put a lot of manpower behind that. So long story short, and again, not to waste anybody's time, but I think UEI in general has done everything that we possibly could to make sure that the student experience and to make sure that our student outcomes are looked at and we are preserving the student experience and ensuring that student outcomes remain consistent and consistent with our company expectations. We're happy to be here before the board today. Our documentation is voluminous, and we're happy to answer any individual questions if they come up. I'd like to introduce Lorraine Cahill, who's our Chief Compliance Officer.
Great. I wasn't with you all as you went through the change of ownership in the Anthem piece. I joined IEC in early 2015, a couple months after I left another organization, and happy to be here as well. So when I joined the organization, our Phoenix campus was actually assisting in the teach-out of students, I think about 55 or 59 students from other campuses that had just their last course or externships left. And we, again, became involved after we'd gone through the change of ownership visit. And then actually this campus was, through ACICS, made a branch under our Miami campus, under that OPID. So there was a fair amount of regulatory activity happening at the campus in the very early months of the campus. At the same time, as Aaron explained, we were changing programs, getting new programs approved, and going through all sorts of migration of systems. So if you can imagine, somewhat chaotic. That said, one of the first things that UEI did through IEC, its parent company, and we do this at all of our campuses, is we immediately moved in on our outcomes protection. But what I mean by that is we have an internal group of employees, about 20 across the organization, that are deployed to the campuses but report directly to compliance up through to me. And we call these individuals student outcomes confirmation officers. And to give you just a skinny on it, they're basically served like as the registrar for career services. So while career services places the students, we have a student outcomes confirmation officer who determines that the accreditation criteria with ACICS, there's three methods of placement, have in fact been met through documentation. I bring this up now because I know that there is obviously very much heightened concern and focus on placement in our industry today, and am pleased to inform you that even through the unannounced visit by ACICS, and recently we've had ACICS in the last travel cycle at 9 campuses through initial accreditation, over 1,800 placement files verified by ACICS because they now do 100% data integrity. So I mention this because as you go through that piece of it, that's one of the huge compliance efforts that we immediately instituted at this campus. I will say that there was a change in staff of that person who ultimately was connected to this campus because we didn't feel that she, and again, she doesn't report to the campus, but we didn't feel she was as qualitatively strong in holding the bar, particularly of documenting placements by benefit or placements with waiver. So we evaluate all those, and we have a third party outside of mine that also comes in and evaluates those. So it's kind of a three-legged stool. Mm-hmm. So a little bit on that. Again, we as we received this complaint, we immediately deployed on our own the compliance team, several compliance visits. And I'm pleased to report that, I'm not pleased to report that we noticed we made some mistakes. There were a couple places where mistakes were made, and I think they were mistakes made in good faith, and I think that we immediately acted to correct them when we found them. What I am pleased to report is we did not find any systemic behavior of noncompliance. We are still in the reporting year for ACICS. We have until the 1st of November to, we were exempt from reporting last year on the campus accountability report.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because of when we closed and when the branch became a branch of the Miami OPEID. So we have until, you know, the end of October this year, 1st of November, for this cohort to close in placement. So we are in the throes of doing that. We got one program with the law of small numbers. It's going to kill us if we don't get 3 out of 4 place. And we're not there yet, but obviously we're managing it to every effort to meet the minimal compliance requirements or better. We have hired a dean. We've trained a dean. We've hired a registrar. We've trained a registrar. The campus was very, very small at one point in time, and there was some reduction in force as account of that. I think it started to blossom a little bit, and I think, again, a mistake may have been waiting a little bit too long. That said, you know, pleased to note that Todd, who has umpteen years in the business and, in fact, acting as a former dean and education director, held a pretty tight fort as best he could with the staffing he had. So we've sent now my compliance teams out to the campus and other subject matter experts from education and career services, I'd say 4 different times. We are replying to the ACICS visit. I'll tell you, it was a little bit unusual. And those of you that are most familiar with ACICS, it's usually a pretty interactive visit. This was a team, unannounced. We didn't know anybody but the staff member who was per leader, Walter Gillum. The campus team, while very cooperative and collegial, as noted in the report, was not allowed to know what they were finding or to respond at any time during the
visit. So you had no flavor.
We had nothing until we got the report.
Or did you get the report?
We got a report recently.
You did?
I'm sorry?
You did?
Uh-huh.
We don't have one.
They should have copied you.
No, you.
We should have copied you.
Should have copied it. The school's responsibility.
Okay, I thought it was coming from.
But the cutting edges, it generally does. But I guess not.
No, not a staff report, ditto.
Oh, that's pro. Okay, that's right. That's right. Because it was.
She mentioned she had talked to you, so I thought that she was.
She had.
Okay.
Well. Prior to. I knew the visit was coming.
So it came. It's been a little over a week. They gave us 10 days. We got a brief extension. It was actually due today, and we were going to be here today, so it's due Friday.
What was the flavor of that?
Similar things that you found, the one unqualified faculty member, but it was more ACICS specific. There's always, you know, citations on the CEP, you know, and how the CEP is written. Was it up to date? Was the analysis done? SAP checked out fine. I mean, I've got it here. I can go through it. It was, you know, on volume, it looked like a lot. As in we're preparing the response, I think we're going to be fine. No R2T4 issues, nothing on outcomes yet because we're in the year. What else? I can look it up while we're
That's okay. I mean, we're going to see it. We're going to need a copy eventually anyway to look at it.
So I guess, you know, I just really want you all to know that IEC and UEI is committed, as you all know, to, you know, getting this school integrated and up and running and compliant on all fronts. And we are scheduled to be back at the beginning of July to follow up on those things we found. We're working through a corrective action plan. We use a very detailed action plan that's driven by both state and the ACICS criteria requirements that would be used like in a renewal visit or an initial grant visit. So that's where we're at today. And I will then send it over to Todd.
This is the first time in 18 years I've had to be here, and I hope soon to be the last time. But just willing to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. So, Mr. Jacobs, this time, do you have any?
Well, the material you supplied answered quite a bit of the allegations, but it does appear you were out without a registrar for a while?
Yes, sir.
And how long was that?
From May until March. When I took over the campus...
So 11 months, 12, 10 months.
About 10 months.
Okay.
We had delegated and trained other people, other staff. We were extremely small, well under 100 students at that time, and felt we could handle all those functions with such a limited student population with the staff we had.
And were those functions also being assisted by other campuses?
No, but we did have support from our home office.
Okay.
So the person designated predominantly, for example, was on a weekly training call.
Okay. And were you without a director of education as well for a while?
Correct.
How long was that?
From either August or September through May.
Okay.
Were you acting in both capacities?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right.
Small enough school. Probably.
Small school, and I've been a director of
that
before. And it is important to note also that our corporate function has both a corporate registrar and an associate vice president of academic records.
Okay.
So that person, those people not only stepped in to assist in the part-time register role and make sure that person was trained, we also took back some of that registrar function that could be done off-site at our corporate office.
And so the only issue about the minimum standards, the instructor, that was just one instructor?
One instructor. ACICS went through all of our files. We had actually in a program that we hadn't enrolled in since September, it was one instructor with one student. We immediately replaced that instructor.
And we haven't received any kind of concerns, right, as far as any of these allegations in any kind of capacity. So
no.
This interesting why these are, you know, it's just a laundry list of
In every single department, in every single function at a campus.
Compliance closely monitors also our student satisfaction surveys, and we, of course, monitor all complaints and hotline calls. We haven't had a hotline call a student issue. They're some of the best student surveys we have across the organization. The Phoenix students seem genuinely happy. So I may just throw that in as some additional facts of outward signs that there may have been trouble in terms of, again, student experience and outcomes.
And so, yeah, the only thing I could see possibly being a concern is without the registrar there, maybe there was a lapse in confirming POG or something. Any thoughts?
That's separate, but there's no, I'll just be frank with the board, there's no question that there's paperwork, some things that didn't get done and didn't get done, especially in the correct manner.
Okay.
And that's on me. I'm the one that said that I think we can do this and wanted to help the school get out of the deep, deep financial hole that they, have been in. And we had a conversation months before this all happened, as we really started to grow, that was going to be needed. And before any of this came up, we already were in process of getting a registrar.
Okay. All POG verification is done at our corporate office.
All right.
So that's taken away from the campus.
That's all I have.
I have a question on the ability to benefit. The way that it's worded in here, it starts out in 13. Says that ability to benefit admission is available on a limited basis and is available for just a few of the programs. And then on the following page at the bottom, it details the ability to benefit. I'm just surprised that it isn't more clear. It has the part that students successfully completed either 6 credits or 25 clock hours to for eligible program prior to July 1st, 2012. Then it says a student who attended or enrolled in eligible program at any Title IV institution. It's been a while since I looked at it, but my recollection is that they can only get Title IV if they're grandfathered in. But this has a second statement. If last semester they went to a school, that means they can get in as an ATB at your school?
They can. That's a correct statement.
And then get Title IV?
Mm-hmm. It's a grandfather clause. I don't like it.
The grandfather's not there, though. It just says student who attended or enrolled eligible program.
No, it's part of that is what the statement reads. At least, unless it changed it recently. But.
With no date attached to it. So if I went in spring of 2016, I took a couple of classes, I can get financial aid in summer of 16.
I'll have to check it, but yes, that's how I read it. Yeah.
I'll have to reread that, because that is my recollection, but I'd be happy to be wrong.
Yeah. I doubt she is. I don't like to take her on to these
shocked.
Matters. I usually lose.
I was going to say, that's not
good.
Bet you don't
think.
Yeah.
The ceiling tiles are falling in.
Hold on, if you just look at that, also the ATB and the current rules, the way this is worded, it has the grandfathered in section, but then it has the other part. It seems like a separate independent statement.
Yep, and I'll stand silent on that. We'll be checking into it.
Okay.
Thank you for noticing.
I think that means I'm not wrong.
You're not, probably.
It means that I think it belongs somewhere else.
I've already submitted.
We already said there's not going to be. That's not going to be the case.
He really wanted to be right.
Once, but it's not happening yet. I don't really have any, so I guess.
Oh, can I ask a question, though? Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe no one's here. Anyway, it appears that when I first started working with IEC, in UEI, Joe Fox and I think I know their names off the top of my head. Anyway, it seems that who I worked with back then is not there now.
That's correct. Joe left the organization.
Well, not just Joe. It seemed like it was.
I'm not sure.
When did Joe leave?
He left in late January.
I can't think of who.
February.
They were the compliance that she worked with.
Oh,
Angela
Sandy Lockwood and Darlene.
Sandy
retired. I actually replaced Sandy. So Sandy announced her retirement.
I mean, you're talking head people, a lot of them within a very short period of time, right after this.
Yeah, Sandy's been around forever.
She's on our board now. So she's retired from day-to-day activity. She's on our board of directors.
And actually, her right hand still consults with us.
What's her name?
Darlene.
Okay, so Darlene still consults. And Sadie and I overlapped for quite some time before I, before she finally tried to retire. She's still very involved with Asset as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Angela Paul, who was one of our chief compliance people from the acquisition.
Yeah, she was.
We moved her out here. She's still with me.
So who has someone assumed Joe's position?
Not currently. No.
No.
We have an executive vice president of operations right now, but we don't have a chief operating officer.
Do I know who that is?
Shokri Tiab. He's also been with us for several years.
Okay, what I would like to request, an org chart.
Gotcha. The corporate org chart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want a campus one, too?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Angela, is she not?
She's
somebody. Why do you guys keep flying to Florida?
Oh, because we have all those campuses in Florida. Remember, we did the acquisition. There's some umpteen campuses in Florida.
Yeah.
So we have
a mini accreditation.
No, we have an accreditation and licensing specialist based in Florida who reports to us.
The board or not. I don't know. I haven't seen the thing.
And Angela had moved from Florida, so there was a little back and forth until she relocated to California.
You've confused me.
Okay, we'll get you. We'll get you.
Are you local or are you the
host? I'm California.
Yes.
I'm local
to it. Yeah, you can tell by the lack of jacket, I'm not local. California as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Contemplating.
He's thinking.
I think, again, I find myself in the two different camp here, where I think this complaint was satisfied with this. However, I don't know what the ACICS report does and all that other stuff does, so I want to see that and prefer with probably a full board,
just in case.
Yeah.
We're a little gun shy.
Sorry, you can't blame us. So I guess my first motion would be to dismiss this complaint. That's my first motion. Sorry. If I can't give a second.
It confused me. Okay. So we
I thought it was understand, would it be part of it?
It's not part of this, so this is sort of like this.
All right, I second that.
Let's have discussion now. I needed a second so we could talk about it. Let's talk about it. What's the confusion now?
Because I thought you
realize
said
I've been going since 6:30 this morning, so I'm probably running out of steam right now.
But I thought you said it would be premature to dismiss it because we don't have the ACICS report.
That's not really has to do with the
it's
anonymous.
It's same allegations.
It's not the anonymous complaint, though, is my point. Frankie can tell me if I'm wrong.
The anonymous complaint is what generated the list of
allegations.
So, technically you could keep it open, refer to the full board, wait for their submission of the ACICS report.
I just hate the full board have to go through all this stuff. But, that's probably
we
need good point. So I strike my motion.
You could go this route, and then once we get the ACICS report, if there is
concerns,
serious, I'm not going to say we could bring them back as a discussion at a board meeting based upon the report of ACICS, just like I do with anybody else that I get it. Report to go like that.
So, but if you read it and you don't gasp, then we don't see it?
Correct.
We won't see it.
Well, then, okay.
Now I got to change my motion. Apologize, guys.
I don't care.
I'll make a motion that we refer complaint 16 NS
506
to the full board.
Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Also, I guess I could amend that, that we were provided the ACICS visit report.
Yeah, you found your ATV?
Yep. Yes. We'll be submitting our response to ACICS on Friday as well, so we would like to
see your response.
Everything, please, electronically submitted first, sure. Bookmarked to meet your content requirements, and three hard copies.
How many?
Three.
May I ask if the board finds our submission sufficient? Does it have the power to dismiss the complaint on its own volition before that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays, no nays. So the ayes have it. Thank you for your patience and waiting.
Thank
you. Good seeing you.
Call. Okay. I know.
Yeah, return my call.
You know what? It didn't come through.
It didn't?
It didn't come through. It came through like last night. And so my call
was going
to happen. And I got by then.
Yeah. All right. Catch up. All right, moving on to the next item of the agenda, item 5, the call to the public.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can't somebody contribute?
No, I get my chance. No.
Hearing none, I call this meeting adjourned at 3:43.